couple of themes that Danita and Bill raised just moments ago regarding Asia. Number one, although it's a mixed performance in terms of export volume compared to a year ago, I think overall it's positive if you look at the historical trends, which continue to go upward. I think if you look at volume versus value, you see this year you see Asian customers, even those where the volume dropped, they're paying more for our meat. So the demand is still there for the product. Many of these economies are facing rising food prices as the globe is. But the Asian economies, which are humming along, varying from 7.5% in China, which is low for it, but certainly enviable from any other major economy worldwide, to countries like Philippines, Indonesia humming along at 5%, they're able to pay extra money for the meat, and the U.S. is performing well. Let me run through a couple of countries because it's a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of the numbers. It might be good to touch on some of the big things we're seeing. Let's first talk about Japan. Phil mentioned that Japan has finished an internal process of assessing the safety of moving the cattle age for testing to 30 months, which will set the stage for the resumption of imports of beef from the United States from animals 30 months of age, which will open up a much larger pool here in the United States of eligible cattle. I think this will have a major impact almost instantly on the prices of certain items. And will be a boost, although it'll be a boost for prices, it should be a beneficial to the industry. On the pork side, those that follow the numbers, you'll see that we're down a little bit on volume, but up in value. Our organization continues to push on the chilled side. That's where we see the future benefits and growth to compete against the domestic chilled pork. And also take advantage of program sales that are more steady than the volatile commodity markets. But still, we'll be at a very high level for pork exports this year. And so I think the outlook in Japan is favorable, especially given their high yen, which we see persisting in the future. Japan did rebuild its herd a little bit from the earthquake. That's caused a little bit of the dip in imports. And there have been some customs issues there, just increased checking of documents, and that's at the margin that's affected the total import value. Now let's turn to Korea. Korea's very interesting this year because they're suffering from a meat surplus. So their beef cattle herd is basically 120% larger than it was 10 years ago. And the government and the industry has basically decided that they need to pare this down. They're offering specials in Korean retail stores of half off on their local Hanu. This narrows the difference between the imported beef price and the preferred Hanu. It's giving us some competition. It's not just us that are affected by lower import volumes. It's also Australia. And on the pork side, for those of you who remember, Korea was stricken by FMD September 2010. They lost a third of their herd in just about a year and a half. They completely rebuilt it, and at a pace that was much faster than what many analysts predicted. And while they were rebuilding, the government, in order to keep food prices down, announced hundreds of thousands of tons, over 400,000 tons of duty-free access of imported pork. The importers jumped on it, but it has created some stocks there in Korea. So you have aggressive domestic pork supplies, and you have some stocks that are going to be needed to be worked through. However, next year, as the beef herd is pared down and the pork supply and demand comes more into balance, I think we'll see that stair step upward trajectory for imports to increase. Let me say a couple of comments about China. First off, everyone's now watching the China pork import number. Just very briefly, we don't see major disease issues. We see increases in total production for the first 9 months of the year, depending on what numbers you watch, between 3 and 5%. 3 and 5% may not sound like a much, but just think how big their industry is. Pork prices in China are probably 15 to 20% below year-ago levels. However, imports are very high. I think for the remainder of the year, we see probably not the surge in imports that we saw at the end of last year. So they'll finish, maybe total imports from all sources, they'll finish a little bit down from the record last year. We might finish a little bit down from last year, but just look at the overall numbers and you'll see how big they are. Phil mentioned Taiwan. We're back on track there with beef imports. The purchases and shipments start almost immediately after they announce that ractopamine MRL in August. So we see a recovery process continuing into next year there. We see continued growth in exports to Australia and New Zealand. We're up 4% in volume. It just seems to be growing every year. And their dollar, which is very much linked to commodities globally, is likely to stay strong. So that market looks promising as well. New Zealand's very interesting with 33% increase in volume, although it's a small population. And we still have room to improve there with improved market access. A couple of other countries we're just watching more out in the distant future. One is Indonesia. We see tremendous potential there because their enjoyment of animal protein, but their very low current per capita consumption, but their very high economic growth. We have some market access issues there. Australia, which is right to its south, is a major supplier, also facing the same market access challenges. Indonesia wants to become self-sufficient in meat production. I think it's going to be very difficult and costly for them to do so. So we'll continue to devote effort to that market because we see great potential.